Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude,
we're up to episode 94. We got a guest in this show. We have Craig Custance from the Sporting News.
Nice.
We'll talk to him in just a little bit.
Very cool.
But we're wrapping up the end of the season, dude. This is probably officially the last regular season podcast. Is that right?
Yes, last regular season podcast. Next week, we'll be doing a little bit of a playoff preview when we'll finally know what this topsy-turvy seeding.
Yeah.
We're waiting with bated breath every day to see who the Sharks will be playing. At least we know, dude, we're going to have another Pacific Division banner hanging in the tank. Your favorite.
Dude.
Come on, dude. You know what you really want to say is,
dude, this is what I want to say.
I love that Rob Blake. Love Rob Blake.
That was a nice little surprise.
I surprised
dude.
You with that one, dude. I pulled that off the commercial today because I love that commercial.
Well, for the people who are maybe listening from out of town, what that is, there's a commercial right now with for the Sharks where Joe Thornton has this ventriloquist dummy. Yeah. Maybe we'll put it on the website.
Yeah,
and that's what he says.
I couldn't find it on YouTube. I had to rip it off the TV. But
oh my god,
it's pretty awesome. And then at the end, it's obviously sort of off the cuff, and there's that little sound bite you just heard.
He keeps laughing at the end.
Yeah, and then you can hear the crew laughing when he's done. It's pretty awesome.
Awesome, dude. Awesome.
Dude, totally derailed there.
Sharks have locked up the one or the two.
Yes, thank you.
So that's good news. Worrying about having to be the four or the five is now out of the picture. Phoenix out of the picture for the first round. It's all kind of up to, you know, if Chicago wins out, you know, because they won tonight and we're tied with them right now, then they've still got a game. I think they've got a game in hand on us, right?
The one tonight wasn't their game in hand?
Oh, you're right, actually. So, no, they win the tiebreaker because they've got more wins.
Right.
So, Chicago, if they win out and we win out, it doesn't matter. So, we kind of have to hope Chicago stumbles a little bit. They've got Detroit for the last game, which is going to be no summer picnic. And their other game, I can't remember off the top of my head, but they skunked St. Louis tonight.
Yeah.
So, dude, that's good news.
Dude, and a good game against Calgary to lock up the Pacific. I was a little scared. Calgary seems to be a pretty tough place to play. The Sharks got their two-goal lead and decided not to blow it this time.
Wow.
Off, you know, good goals by Rob Blake and Jamie McGinn. So, you know, the top guns don't need to necessarily score and be in on all the goals. And the Sharks played pretty decent, good penalty killing, except for the one goal they gave up. And, you know, sort of coasted, not coasted, but they held on to win.
It was a gutsy win. Yeah. It was the kind of win that you'd like to see in a couple weeks happening.
Mm-hmm.
You got a team that's really playing for their lives. That game reminded me of something where, you know, if the Sharks were winning a series 3-1, that's what Calgary's going to come at you with. Mm-hmm. They came at them with everything they had at the end. I mean, they were letting it all hang out. They were playing for their lives. And the Sharks held on, and they looked good. They were aggressive. And that's what you expect from a team that, again, might be the number one seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are tough games, I would imagine, for them to get up for. You know, what do the Sharks really have to play for here? They've been a playoff team. It's been basically a certainty that they're going to be in the playoffs for the last several weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And Calgary, it has everything to lose and everything to gain. So for them to come out on top in that game was a good win. And even I didn't feel so bad about the Colorado loss either, dude.
Mm.
Did you?
I think we would have locked it up a little bit earlier. I would have felt a little bit better. Especially because they gave up the 2-goal lead. That was the thing. And they gave up 4 goals straight. And I like the fact that they showed a little guts and came back and put it into overtime and got the point. But you don't want to see that kind of meltdown where you give up 4 goals in a row.
Sure. But that's another instance where you're playing a team that, I mean, Colorado, if they had lost that game, they were in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were looking up at Calgary, and now Calgary's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to eliminate them by winning that game. So Good news. I think in the long run, good news for the Sharks, because if you had to play Colorado or Calgary, you would pick Colorado, I think, every single time, especially thanks to Rob Blake's shoulder on Peter Mueller. That's going to significantly hurt them,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mueller was their second hottest player.
Absolutely.
To lose Peter Mueller at this point, so they don't have Volsky, they don't have Mueller,
mm-hmm.
that's going to hurt them in a playoff series, you know, for the long run. So
I love that Rob Blake. Love Rob Blake.
I love the guy in the background.
Yeah, I think that's like...
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dude.
So I love Rob Blake, but awesome. Peter Mueller does not love Rob Blake.
A couple of quick questions, things that we saw in that Calgary game. We've posed the notion, and so have our friends over at Fear of the Finn, of playing seven defensemen mm-hmm. in the playoffs instead of dressing Brad Staubitz.
Yes.
Dude, do you think that this is A, gonna happen, B, likely to happen, C, not likely, or D, no chance?
I'd say not likely.
Oh.
Seven defensemen, unless they go forward with the Demers on offense experiment, which I guess he played offense for a few shifts. If they decide to go that direction, then I think it's more likely than not. I wish they could bring up another guy. I wish they had Fraser McLaren or something.
Well, I think they could.
Yeah.
I mean,
they can bring up basically half the AHL team if they want to, although they're in the playoffs.
They might. They might do it. I would not be surprised if you saw someone like Dwight Heilmann make the trip and be with the team. Someone who has NHL experience. I think he has NHL playoff experience with Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Him being pulled out of Worcester for their playoff run and just kind of being around as a practice guy or an emergency player, you know, I think that they're more likely to bring him up than someone like Ryan Vesey or even Ben Ferriero or Zaleski. I think they'll leave those guys down there to get valuable playoff experience being the guys, and
mm-hmm.
Heimelin can be kind of pulled away, especially since these college guys that they signed are mm-hmm. playing
yeah.
and playing big minutes. It looked like tonight, and the Worcester Sharks just totally routed Hartford tonight.
Nice.
I think it was 9-2.
Nice.
And it looked like the new rookie Sharks defenseman, Justin Braun, had 3 assists in that game. So
good times.
Yeah. He's looking at least like he's looking like a potential real contributor here, dude.
So as a strategy, I don't think I necessarily would like to see seven defensemen, but I certainly do agree with Fear the Finn in that I don't really want to see Brad Staubitz on the playoff roster every night.
No,
I don't really want to see that. And that's all with all due respect to Brad Staubitz, who has certainly battled valiantly this season, but just unfortunately, I don't think can really compete at the NHL level. And since he's so prone to these penalties that you watch the replay and you go, what, why, you know, you don't need that kind of stuff in the playoffs.
I think there's one team that if we end up matched up against one team that we're going to see Brad Staubitz, mm-hmm. and that's Nashville.
Okay.
I think if we draw Nashville, we're going to see Brad Staubitz in the lineup.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
And
if we draw Colorado or LA or Detroit, there's no way.
There's no way.
They'll play the 7D or they'll bring up a guy from Worcester. So this kind of segues into my other question for you. How are you feeling about Logan Couture right now?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they decided to bring him up. He's performing... not unsurprisingly for me. We knew he was a great player. He was, you know, point per game atop the AHL.
He would have led the AHL in scoring if he'd been there all year.
Right. So this is a guy that we both projected to be a part of the San Jose roster next year. He's just a little early this year, and he's really doing well.
The Sharks have never been shy about this. You know, they've done this with Gotch. Mm-hmm. They've did it with Matt Carl. And now they're bringing Logan Couture in there. He's playing major minutes, important minutes. He's playing between Klo and Seto, I think is who he played between last night, and looking good. So good for him.
Well, dude, I think we should get to the interview. We have Craig Custin, so check it out, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Ooh.
All right, we welcome to Dudes on Hockey, the NHL writer from the Sporting News and host of the new NHL podcast, The Grindcast, Craig Custin's. Joining us from the OHL playoffs. Craig, thanks for joining us.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Hey, Craig, you know, covering this playoff series that you've got going on right now, which ended up being maybe not as much of a mammoth matchup between Windsor and Plymouth, ended up being a sweep. And with the Central scouting rankings coming out today, do you agree with Sagan being one and Taylor Hall being two based on how Hall basically totally outplayed him in this series?
Well, the first thing you have to kind of keep in mind when it comes to these rankings is that one is they finished him up, I want to say, last Thursday. So the final decision was made on one versus two before the series even began. So, it doesn't take into account how much more dominant of a player Taylor Hall was in the series compared to Tyler Sagan. But at the same time, I think what E.J. McGuire and the folks at Central Scouting were doing here and what they're considering when they ranked Tyler Sagan number one was that the guy's a center, and I think a lot of teams prefer to build down the middle. If you're looking for a cornerstone player, you want to find that franchise center, and I think that's the right way to build a team. And I think if all things being equal, that was what pushed Tyler over the top in this debate. And it was a debate. I mean, EJ said there was heated arguments in the back rooms in Toronto when they were coming up with this list. And it wasn't an easy decision, as you can see kind of by the flip-flopping back and forth between all the rankings.
Now, if you're the Edmonton Oilers and you already have Jordan Eberle, would you take Taylor Hall? If you're the GM of the Oilers, what would you do?
I go center. I think, you get the sense in talking to people, around the league or around the Oilers that it would make sense for them organizationally to go with a guy like Tyler Sagan, just because, like you guys said, they do have a couple prospects on the wing, and it would make sense for them to go ahead and get that franchise center. And I know that the Oilers were out scouting this series pretty hard. Anybody that has any say in this decision was either in Windsor or Plymouth at one point in the series. So if they were leaning towards Sagan, I think Taylor Hall made it a little tough on him the way he played and how at times he was so dominant.
All right, we're going to switch gears to the Sharks here. And you mentioned in your latest podcast that you'd like to see Los Angeles Kings versus Sharks first-round playoff series. And last season, speaking from the Sharks' perspective, the Battle of California didn't exactly work out. And we like playing either, the Kings or Colorado because they're untested and possibly a little shaky in goal. And so for you, which team do you think poses the bigger threat to the Sharks?
Oh, I think, without a doubt, San Jose wants to play Colorado. That's a Colorado Avalanche team that's not playing particularly well, basically until these last couple games where they seem to right the ship. But you get the sense of Colorado that's a young team that's overachieved, and really their accomplishment was just getting in the playoffs. Whereas, as you guys know, San Jose has kind of much bigger aspirations in this postseason. So, of those two teams, I would say for sure Colorado. And then, as you guys know, what they don't want to do, the worst case scenario would be a Detroit Red Wings San Jose first round matchup, which I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the latest point standings, but I don't know how realistic that is at this point of happening. But that would just be a complete nightmare for the Sharks.
They were losing to Columbus tonight at one point, which was giving us both quite the heart attack. But I think they came back late and ended up winning.
Did they end up winning tonight? Okay,
they did. That would be the ultimate nightmare. The ultimate nightmare. For sure.
Well, it's almost exactly what happened last year with Anaheim. I mean, they're almost a mirror image. A veteran team that knows how to win in the playoffs, kind of clicking at the absolute right time. You have a hot young goalie in Jimmy Howard who's playing the role this year of Jonas Hiller. And they'd go into this series, and nobody in the world would be surprised if Detroit beat San Jose in the first round if that was the matchup. So I think if you're San Jose and you get Colorado, then it's just a matter of taking care of business.
We're wishing them on the Chicago Blackhawks, that's for sure. Absolutely. Another comment you made on your podcast that I think struck a chord with us as being extremely important is you guys talked about how this San Jose Sharks team is fully aware that this could be their last run together, and if they flame out again, there could be a breaking up of the band type situation. Is this give us maybe hope to believe that this season might be different from other playoff runs the Sharks have had?
Yeah, I think so, and I got that. The latest issue of Sporting News Magazine has our playoff preview, and there's, you have people from the Sharks saying as much that you know, essentially, you look at some of the guys that are unrestricted, and you look at kind of how many times Doug Wilson has left this group as a whole. I mean, of course, he's made some changes. You have the Danny Heatley addition, which is a major difference this year. But essentially, it's the same core group of guys. And really, I think without a doubt, this is really their last go at it. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, you're bringing back this same group if there's another first-round failure, even a second-round disappointment. And I think the guys in the room really, they have that sense. And I think that's a really motivating factor for them. They've said this could be this one-year window for them to finally get it done. And really, players around the league, they really have a good sense of understanding that these are opportunities that don't come around very often when you have just elite talent like San Jose does. And really, it's up to them to kind of grasp this opportunity.
Besides some of the big marquee players like Thornton and Marlowe and Heatley, is there a player you can point to on the Sharks that you think needs to have a good playoffs for this team to be successful?
Well, I mean, as you guys know, when it gets to the playoffs, it's not about the top lines, and it's the depth guys that need to score. And I think that's really kind of been one of the issues with San Jose through the years. I mean, there's a lot made about Marlowe and Thornton, and yes, they have to be a lot better than they have been in the past. But at the same time, I think that, I mean, you're going to need to have some of those depth guys score. You know, I'd like to see a guy. I love Joe Pavelski and covering him in the Olympics. I'd love to see him just kind of have a good playoff. And guys like Sedaguchi, some of these guys just kind of take the burden off of the Thorntons and the Healy's and the Marlowe.
Craig, in either conference, not counting Detroit, which I don't think anybody really views as a dark horse right now. What team do you think in either the East or the West would be a dark horse, sort of the Anaheim of last year?
Well, yeah, I mean, Detroit's the easy answer, and I think you're right. I don't think there's anybody in hockey that considers them a dark horse. And when you go out East, it's hard to say because you look at the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings, and there's not a lot of teams that I'm really crazy about. I mean, if the Rangers get in, maybe they could upset a team, and I'm only saying that because they've got one of the best goalies in the game in Lundqvist, and we saw how good he was at the beginning of that Capitals series last year. I mean, he almost lifted the Rangers to that win. So I would say, you know, in the East, maybe a team like Montreal, who you know, they're going to get in, and there's not going to be much expected of them. And I think they've got a goalie in Yaroslav Halak who's playing really well right now. They're finally healthy, so we're kind of getting a look at you know, what kind of team they can be right now. But again, I don't see that as a team that can make a long run. I could just see them maybe having a first-round upset. And then out west, I mean, it's the lower-seeded teams, it's going to be, you know, Detroit that makes a run. And then the other two teams that nobody wants to talk about when it comes to playoff success is Nashville and Phoenix. And the reason I like them to at least, you know, go, you know, maybe overachieve expectations of that, they play kind of such a tight, defensive, smart, you know, brand of hockey. They're almost playing playoff hockey all year as it is. So once they get into the playoffs, I can just see them being successful.
Craig, the Sharks had to do a little house cleaning last year to get the cap room to get Danny Heatley. So they basically gave away Christian Ehrhoff to the Vancouver Canucks for a couple of schmoes. Looking back on that trade, do you think they traded the wrong defenseman? Should it have been Vlasic who was moved based on Ehrhoff's great season he's having?
Well, I get, you know, it's hindsight, right? I mean, you look at the season he's had. I mean, he's gone. He's become, you know, top two defenses for Vancouver, one of their most important pieces. And you know, his health and how he performs in the playoffs is going to be huge for Vancouver because, really, that's the one concern I have with the Canucks is their back end and their depth in the blue line. And they have Luongo, who, you know, regardless of what you think about him as a playoff performer, he's still an elite goalie, and they've got pretty good depth up front scoring wise. So I think their defense is a question mark, and he's a guy that's going to be really key for them. So yeah, I guess if you had to say now, which one would you rather have? Maybe that's the right decision. But at the time, it was hard to argue with.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this one. You know, looking at the offseason, we saw the headlines in Calgary after the Sharks beat them last night about how there might be some shakeup. Which Sharks rival do you think is in worse shape, Calgary or Anaheim? Both teams that probably should have made the playoffs.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, The thing about Calgary is they just have to make a decision there with the shutters. I mean, I really don't know. You don't get the sense. And then, you know, people I talk to in Calgary, they say they think that you know they're not going to make a change at GM, and which leads you to believe there probably will be a change in coach. And you really have to wonder if that's the right decision. You almost get the sense at this point with Calgary if they're almost better blowing it up. I mean, we've seen some trade rumors surface over the last couple of days. Not just rumors, just kind of speculation that maybe it's time for that him to move on. And you wonder if you know if they'd be better served kind of starting over from scratch. I don't know. I think what I like about Anaheim versus Calgary, to answer your question, I like Anaheim better than I do Calgary, and for a couple reasons. One, I like their goaltending. I'm a huge Jonas Hiller guy. I like what he brings, you know, to the Anaheim Ducks. I think he's got ice in his veins. I've seen him in too many big games to step up and play really well. And then they've got, you know, Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaff and Bobby Ryan. That line is unbelievable. And when you have those kind of building blocks to start with, you can just kind of tweak the guys around it. I think I'm actually surprised that Anaheim's not in the playoffs this year. I can't figure out what really went wrong there. I don't know if it was just a strange transition year or if it's coaching or what the deal is there, but I think Anaheim is a playoff team, and I think they will be next year if they can, you know, figure out whatever the issue is. I think they're much closer than Calgary, in my opinion.
Do you think maybe Daryl Sutter will trade Iginla to get Brandon Sutter? Get the whole family there.
Yeah, it's like the missing piece, right?
He is the missing
maybe
piece. And then they could make a band, and they could tour Canada.
Like the Partridge Family, the modern-day Partridge Family.
Oh man!
The Sutters strike me as a bunch of guys with good voices. Do they? I don't know. I can't see Brent Sutter, you know, leading an act at all.
I don't see a tenor in that group at all.
I think Daryl's definitely the bass.
No, I don't know. Maybe Ron. Maybe Ron Sutter.
What about
tenor?
Rich? We can forget about Rich.
We can forget about him.
All right, Craig, we thank you so much for joining us at Dudes on Hockey. Craig Custin's NHL writer for the Sporting News. Check out his podcast, The Grindcast. You can find it on iTunes. Craig, thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Okay. My pleasure.
Hamburgers.
And we're back.
Nice.
Good stuff from Craig.
Hey, the Sutters forming a family band?
I'm all over that.
They might all be looking for a job, so, you know, hey, if the Osmonds can work in Vegas, would you pay to see the Sutter family singing at the Mirage?
Absolutely. As long as they did the Statler Brothers covers.
What if it was Carrot Top opening for the Sutter family band?
I just have an extra couple drinks before the show started. So
featuring Mike Keenan on the banjo. Ding, 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 ding. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, I thought Craig had some great comments. You know, talking about the Sharks and how, you know, this is their last go as a team. And they seem to totally get that and understand that if they don't make a serious run, and, you know, he seemed to imply, and I think that you would agree, conference finals are bust. Like, if the Sharks lose to Chicago or Detroit in the conference finals, I think we would be disappointed, but I don't think we would be standing up on your roof with a 12-pack of Pabst about to jump as if we lost to Colorado in the first round.
That's right. And we do have an email from Dimitri calling himself Red Army Dimitri now.
Oh.
Nice. Giving himself titles. He says, dudes, as much as I want the Sharks to succeed this season, I wonder what's going to happen if we're out after the first round. It seems to me that major overhaul will happen. A few years ago, when the Sharks didn't make the playoffs, we got rid of our leading players like Owen Nolan and built a new team, which took this franchise to the next level, President's Trophy, Western Conference title, etc. Some people say that every hockey team needs a makeover every 10 years or so. Is this the year for the Sharks if we don't perform? Well, I think that's definitely the case. The question is, are we going to have the overhaul even if they do perform? Right? So many unknowns with this team in the offseason.
Yeah, well, we've pointed the finger at the giant unknowns is Marlowe and Nabby. Is it Marlowe and Nabby? Is it Nabby and goodbye Marlowe? Is it Marlowe and goodbye Nabby? You know, it's really going to depend on how they perform, and it would be hard. It would be really difficult on Doug Wilson if the Sharks make it to the Stanley Cup Finals or if they win. How can he not keep them both. He's going to have to figure it out.
That's right.
You know, which might be at the expense of some of the other supporting players, but...
Well, Craig Custins talked a moment ago about how the rumor in Calgary is that Jerome Iginla might be on the block. If the Sharks are disappointing again in the first round, could we see Joe Thornton traded?
For Jerome Iginla?
I'm sure that won't happen, but... trade away your score for the center that needs the score.
It's hard. It's hard to say based on, you know, if Joe Thornton has 9 points in six games and the Sharks lose in the first round, how can you blame Joe Thornton? It's, but if it kind of plays out to script, you know, like you would expect Sharks fail, Joe Thornton poster child for failure.
Right.
Yeah, I think it would be really, really difficult to keep this gang together. So we'll see, Dimitri. I don't even want to think about that yet, but I think you've got a point. It'd be really difficult for them to keep this team going and to sell it to their season ticket and fan base as, we're going to give it one more go, kids.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. We got some more emails here from Tom, Mountain View. Are the lower seeded teams, not including Detroit, obviously, like LA, Colorado, and Nashville, sort of a question we gave to Craig. Which one do you guys think has the greatest chance of pulling out a first-round upset? So, playoffs ended today. It would be us versus Colorado, LA versus Chicago.
Right, but and LA's then, still got three games left.
Probably Nashville versus Vancouver. So, which do you like for the upset, dude?
I think of the three teams, I think the most dangerous team is the Kings.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's just my opinion, and I think it's because top to bottom, I think they have the most balanced team... Even though Quick is a minor question in goal, you know, when he's good, he can be great. Mm-hmm. So I would be most fearful of the Kings, or if the Kings were playing the Blackhawks, I would actually feel like they might have a slight chance of pulling off an upset.
See, I'd go the other way. I'd say if LA plays Chicago, there's not much of a chance, even though I think LA is a better team than Nashville. I think Nashville would have a better chance to upset. The defense of Vancouver is a little banged up right now. We see Erhoff just coming back. They got another defenseman out. Luongo, despite being this supposedly all-world goaltender, has never really had a lot of success in the playoffs, and Nashville's got a pretty good goalie in Pecorine and a good defense to shut down some of those top offensive players Vancouver has. So I might pick Nashville just for that reason, more because of the matchup than the team. I agree with you that LA is the better team, but Nashville might have a better matchup.
Now, in terms of the Sharks, of those three.
Yeah, LA is the worst matchup by far, I think, for the reasons that we just said. You know, they got good D, they got explosive offense, they've got pretty decent goaltending. I'd rather not see Drew Doughty every night. I'd rather not see Anze Kopitar every night. I would much rather see Chris Stewart and, you know, Matt Duchene fold a little bit under the spotlight, or maybe just try to soak it in. Oh, I'm so happy I'm in the playoffs. Oops, I got, you know, St. Louis, like St. Louis got last year.
Or Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Avalanche are ripe for that kind of situation. So here's hoping for the Avs, baby.
All right, dude, I'm giving you this email.
Okay.
Because I know you want to read this one.
Yes, I have read this one. This is from Anthony Franken from Down Under. Good day, Anthony. Was that bad?
Pretty bad, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Anthony. Anthony is writing us from Australia. He gives us a little bit of background. He's in Western Australia. He claims to be our most long-distance and isolated listener. I think he probably is right.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little bit further away from our friend and... Good day.
Well, we have another Australian fan that's emailed us before, and plus... We have one in the UK. So
that's right.
If you're listening to this and you're more remote than this guy, then anyone, let us know.
Anyone?
Because Anthony's thrown down the gauntlet. I'm the most remote fan. Really?
Antarctica? Any Sharks fans in Antarctica?
Sri Lanka?
Okay. Anthony's taking me to task here a little bit. We're going to start with his Fraser McLaren question first. He says, I haven't heard you talk much about Fraser McLaren. Lately, you guys had big raps on him. Big raps.
Cool.
Ooh.
That must name's be Fraser McLaren.
Big raps on him earlier in the season as a solid replacement for Staubitz and Shelley, who, by the way, Jody Shelley playing 10-plus minutes a night in New York.
How about that?
Bizarre. Do we think McLaren's going to play in the playoffs at all, and would he be a better fourth-line option than Staubitz?
I think definitely no doubt. No doubt, right?
So then where is he?
Maybe they need him in Worcester. I don't know. I honestly...
Is that what it's come to? You keep guys down there because they need him?
You know, this is one of the two big questions in my mind about the Sharks this year. One is Nabby playing so much, and the other is I'm not exactly sure what they see in Brad Staubitz. I mean, he's a battler, and he definitely works hard every single night. He doesn't take a shift off, but for the reasons we talked about earlier, he takes some bad penalties. He doesn't always win his fights, and he doesn't really chip in offensively. I don't really understand why he's here and not Fraser McLaren.
So putting you on the spot next year, I mean, the thing with Staubitz is they'd have to waive him to put him through.
Yeah.
You know, and they're afraid of losing that quality player. Dude, I mean, are they going to re-sign Staubitz, or is that Fraser McLaren's spot, like, no questions asked?
I hope it's Fraser McLaren's spot.
Because there's a kid down in Worcester, too, and Brandon Mashinter's having a hell of a year.
And he's a scrapper, too. That's no doubt.
So...
I'd like to see some competition for that spot. Let's put it that way.
Well, I certainly think there will be, and you know, it'd be tough for them to just give it outright to Staubitz. Although we like his feistiness, there's no doubt that McLaren is a better player. So the second part of this question, dude, is that, you know, Doug, in the podcast directly after the trade deadline, was highly critical of the trades Phoenix had made. And at the time, he disagreed with me. And he thought the moves were pretty good. So, do I still agree that the trades are bad for Phoenix? And are we fearful of them as a second round matchup for us? I have to admit that I was wrong, that those trades certainly have turned out to be great for Phoenix. Volsky is almost a point a game. Stepniak has won, you know, the first star in the NHL. At first glance, I think those guys are both, you know, Stepniak is at least in Toronto, was a C-level player, and Volsky has never been anything, you know, sort of Milan Mihalik-ish, and is there and not, and so I wasn't that excited about that, but hey, it certainly sparked them, that's for sure.
That's for sure, but given how Peter Mueller has really blown up in Colorado, I'm not sure that they got the better end of that deal for Volsky. Sure, Volsky's helping him, but, and maybe Peter Mueller was the wrong guy in Phoenix, and I get that, but... I still believe, especially the kind of goals, we scored 2 goals against the Sharks, the kind of stuff that he can do on the ice, I would rather have Peter Mueller right now than Wojtek Wroblewski, if they're both playing as they're playing right now. So
yeah, but Mueller was stalled in Phoenix. I mean, he had nothing going on.
And maybe it ended up being a good deal for Phoenix, but I still think they gave up the better player. So there it is. And I'm not particularly afraid of them in the second round. I'm really only afraid of falling asleep while watching.
Oh. Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about... A ratings disaster. Nashville versus Phoenix in the first round.
Ugh.
Somebody shoot me, please.
It was sort of like that Edmonton versus Tampa Stanley Cup final. Oh, no, it was Calgary versus Tampa Stanley Cup finals. It's like,
that was pretty brutal.
Could we find some smaller markets?
Would you even watch it? Be truthful. Nashville, Phoenix, would you watch it?
Sure.
I know, I would too. That's pretty sad.
All right, dude, last email from Scott calling himself Notre Dude.
Ooh.
No Notre Dame references here, and it's hockey. Although, I guess Notre Dame does have a pretty decent NCAA team.
They do. They're not Frozen Fours tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Our boy Tommy Wingle's playing tomorrow.
There you go. Well, Scott is pretty convinced that the last 10 to 15 games a team plays and momentum generated therein, either positive or negative, carries into the playoffs. Mike, I know you love the number crunching questions, so here's one for you. In relation to seeding, is there a statistical significance of how a team performs in the playoff based on a team's record in those last 10 games of the regular season? What about 20 games? So... I spent way too much time, as I'm apt to do, researching this question. And I did all kinds of correlations for the past 9 years in the NHL, back to 2001, 2002. And frankly, there's not a lot of correlation to the points you get in the last 10, 15, or 20 games to how many wins a team has in the playoffs or how deep a team goes in the playoffs by round, which is essentially the same thing. So we're talking correlation numbers for those of you that know stats in the teens, which is essentially randomness. You start getting into, you know, correlation is between -1, +1. You get above 0.3 or 0.4, then you start talking about something for real. I did do a correlation, though. The best correlator right now to playoff wins is actually seeding and not overall points.
Okay.
You have a better chance of going winning more games if you have a good seeding versus if you win a lot of games or have a lot of points. Because
so, example, Vancouver, less points than Phoenix, but advantage Vancouver, higher seed.
I think so. And that's what these things were out and bear out. And if we look at previous seasons, we can see some ridiculously off-kilter points. Like we look at 2003, the number three seed had 93 points. The number four seed had 107 in the East. So wow. Phoenix was the four seed with 107 points, and Tampa Bay was the three seed with 93. Huh. Okay. So in that case, Philly won one more playoff game than Tampa Bay, but overall, it's actually better to have a higher seed than more wins. It's better to win your division than to be the four seed. So Phoenix, you're right. I think Phoenix has a little tiny disadvantage, but not much of one. So I'm going to be posting all this and more on the blog in the next couple of days because all these stats lend itself more to a post than a podcast. But it's a good question, and I hope you'll check out my figures on the blog and correct me if I'm wrong.
Dude, I want to say I ran some numbers on this too.
Did you?
So if you just bear with me.
Where are these numbers at?
Hold on. I got them on my computer. It says X plus Y equals Ed Belfour's ego.
Okay.
That's the conclusion.
Okay, good.
That's the conclusion.
QED, I believe, is the term.
I'm going to put you on the spot before we leave.
Okay.
Okay. Predictions.
Okay.
Sharks are going to be the one or the two seed, and who are we going to play? Gut feelings.
I'm still saying Colorado 1-8. I'm still going with that. Chicago 2-7 versus the Kings. I'm going to say Nashville's the 6, and Detroit moves up to the 5 and plays Phoenix.
I think we're going to be the 2.
Okay. And the Kings?
I think it's going to be the Predators.
Really?
I'm going on the record. We're the 2, the Predators are the 7, and it's going to be blast from the past.
Yeah.
Bring back that love and feeling of the first round with Nashville.
That's right.
So that's what we're going to be. And you know what it means when we make predictions? We're always wrong.
Right. But I have the envelope right there, dude. So we're going to be held to account. I haven't touched it. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we wrote down where we think the Sharks are going to finish in the playoffs. Not looked at it. It's signed and sealed.
Nice.
We're not going to open it up until the season is over.
Good stuff, dude. Good interview, good podcast.
All right, good stuff, dude. And go Sharks the last couple games. We'll talk to you next week about the playoffs. Playoffs.
Hey, if you're going to be at any of the Sharks games, either Thursday or Saturday, send us an email at questionsanddudesonhockey. We'd love to meet you. We'll be at both those games. Give us a shout out.
Or tweet us.
Tweet us.
Or
Facebook.
Or do something on Facebook. Or
I'm sure a lot of the fans are going to be around that those last two games so we can give each other a little playoff pump up.
Yeah, fan appreciation night.
There you go.
All right, talk to you next week.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.